B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
While we were watching the Eagles last night, if you go around the wild card race in the National League, the Phillies were off. They start a three-game series with the Marlins, a team that they're only 6-7 against throughout this entire season, throughout their season series. But while the Phillies were off, the Cubs won, the Nationals won, the Mets won, and the Cardinals won. It was a perfect storm for the Phillies in terms of what you didn't want to see happen.
Yeah, right.
It was not exactly what you would like to see happen on a night where they were off. They lose a little bit of ground to the wild card standings right now as they sit two games out of the second wild card spot, a half game behind the Mets, who are a game and a half out, and it's occupied now by the Nationals and the Cardinals. To examine this a little bit further, we'll talk to our man from NBC Sports Philadelphia, our good friend Ricky Bitalico. Ricky, what's up?
Good morning.
How you feeling, buddy? Feeling good?
Fired up, ready to go.
You should be ready to go, because it's about time we kick some Marlins' ass. Is that going to happen in this series, Ricky?
It better. It really better. I mean, look, the Phillies are now, you know, looking into a rough schedule in September. There's no doubt about it. If you look at the odds of them making the playoffs in the Mets, and this was the other day, they were both tied. The Mets had like a 46% chance. The Phillies had like 11.
Ugh. Is that because the Mets have just been one of the hottest teams in baseball since the All-Star break?
Well, the Mets have won five in a row.
Oh, that's something the Phillies haven't done all year long.
Is that unbelievable?
It's atrocious.
Well, they have their shot. Mm. You have the Marlins for three. Win three in a row.
All right,
and then you have the Pirates. You can win eight in a row.
You have Velasquez, you have Eflin, you have Nola going up in this series.
That's a lot. Way to just blow that up.
Thanks. And then you're also facing a guy tonight that has an ERA north of 9. They got to get to, how do you say his name? Nosey?
I don't know how to say his name. I mean, you know what's funny? You just brought that up.
Hector Nosey, whatever.
There's not a lot of teams in the league that I don't, you know, you see me. I write down my scorecard every night. There's not a lot of teams where I have to put the first names. The Marlins are now a first name team. Because you have no idea who these guys are.
Good old Hector?
Hector. Hector, Schmechter, whatever their names are. I'm telling you, when you get a bunch of no names, for some reason the Phillies play down to them. They can't do that in the series.
All right, how
they cannot do that.
How did Bryce Harper get so hot all of a sudden? 9 home runs in the month of August. That's just so far. Only 2 players in the National League have more home runs than him. Only 2 players in the National League have more RBIs than him so far this month. What's clicking for Bryce Harper finally?
You know, I think it's really simple. When you watch his swing, if you know, the first couple weeks of the season, he was really good, kept his head down, and then all of a sudden it was pulling off the baseball, trying to launch to right field all the time. If you watch him right now, he's using all parts of the field. He hit the one over the monster and left the other day. He's hitting balls to center field now. And if you watch his eyes on the baseball, head is down all the time now. That's really all he needed to do. Here's a perfect example. Remember Ryan Howard.
Sure.
When Ryan Howard went into his slumps, what was he trying to do? Pull everything to right field. Both of these guys have power all over the ballpark. You don't have to hit the ball 480 feet to hit it out of the park. And I think sometimes they get in that pull mode and they really just want to destroy a ball. And if you're not getting the ball in the inside part of the plate, what happens? You're swinging through it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're rolling over on a pitch. So I look at it right now that Harper's keeping his head down, driving the ball where it's pitched. I mean, it's such a simple thing, because when you watch him when he's in a slump, it's like, well, number one, he's not seeing the baseball. Number two, he's drifting towards the first base dugout. He's not doing that right now.
The other thing is, and this is something I heard Jim Thome talk about this week. He talked about an effect, not that this is all Charlie Manuel and he's had some kind of pixie dust he's thrown on Bryce Harper and the rest of this lineup by any means, but he said you're going to be finding Charlie, you're going to be seeing Charlie's impact when you see hitters lock in on a particular pitch. As a former pitcher, can you tell when a batter is just waiting for that one pitch to smack?
You can tell when they're trying to set you up to go to that pitch. I think that's the one thing you look for in a pitcher. You know who tried to do it to me twice. He did it to me once, and he ended up lining up. The second time, I struck him out because I wouldn't go to that area. but it was Bobby Abreu when I faced him.
Wow.
He would like take an inside fastball first pitch and kind of like back off of it like he didn't want it. And the first time I faced him, I'm like, oh, he doesn't want that pitch. So I went away a couple, came back in, and he turned on that same pitch. So, and then the second time I wouldn't give in, ended up striking him out. But it's one of those things where guys will tune into a certain area of the plate. And I think the Phillies are starting to do that a little bit because Charlie is very simple. He's to the ball, get to the ball. That's it. He doesn't necessarily want you going deep into counts. He is, if you get your pitch, go get it because you might not get it again. And it's, I know it's simplistic, but the Phillies have gotten away from simplistic hitting wise this year. I think we all know that.
And you mentioned that, I believe it was after with Corey Simon, good old Sides on NBC Sports Philadelphia on the post game show after Charlie's first game there, they were taking advantage of the first or second pitch in an at bat and they were being more aggressive. Are you seeing that as still being the trend for the Phillies right now since Charlie got there?
Well, I mean, at times, yes. Certain guys will do it. Certain guys are still locked into, I need to see Rhys Hoskins, for example. He's still locked into this. I need to take pitches. And putting him in the one spot, I think, just makes that even worse. But, there are some guys up there now that are attacking instead of, see, there's two different modes. You either go into attack mode or you go into, like, a shy mode at the plate. You can't be shy. Not this team, not the way the ball. The thing that's most bothersome, you look around the league, everybody's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And then you look at the Phillies and you're like, what is going on here? Because I think other teams are more aggressive. All you have to do is watch one or two innings of the Braves. They're looking for a fastball, and if it's a strike, they're hacking. I think the game is a lot more simple than the Phillies have made it this season.
Rick, you kind of hit on it real quick about Rhys Hoskins, and you don't agree with him being in the number one spot. What should they do with him? What is he? Is this just a slump? I said it might be like a sophomore slump, even though it's his second and a half year. But, you know, maybe he's just hitting that. What should Gabe do with him, and why do you disagree so much with him being leadoff right now?
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with it because he's not hitting the baseball, but he is getting on base via the walk a lot. But I think for him in the long run, this isn't where he wants to be, is more or less what I'm trying to say. That's not where you want Rhys Hoskins. He's supposed to be a home run hitter.
Right.
Can't really remember the last time he hit a home run. I think it was back to back with Harper, and that was a while ago. So, I mean, one home run in about a month, I think it is. And that's not Rhys Hoskins by any stretch of the imagination. Call it what you will. He's in a slump. And the biggest problem is, when you're in the big leagues, you have to learn who you are. And I think because he bought so much into this taking pitches thing, I think he actually thinks that's who he is. I'm going to take, and you don't think he hears that he's taken the most pitches that, you know, he hears this stuff.
Right.
And when that happens, what does that do? You take pride in that and you continue to do it. This is a guy that's got to start jumping on fastballs. He had a couple fastballs at Fenway the other day that, early in the count, he swings through him, which means he's not ready for that. He's not ready to attack early on. So he's a guy that's got to figure out a way to make an adjustment in season. He hasn't been able to do that.
The other night in Boston, just as you're saying, Rick, I don't know if you notice this, he's up, he gets a looping curveball right down the middle, and they go to Charlie in the dugout. Charlie's making, he doesn't outwardly make a face, but you can kind of read it. He's like, swing the bat, son. And then the next pitch is a fastball right down the pike, and he did get a double to left field. But is he Charlie's biggest project right now, Rick?
I would think he has to be right now. I mean, it doesn't take very long. It takes, all you need is that one swing where you're like, wow, that was pure. That's what I wanted to do. He hasn't had that. You know what I mean? It's been such a long time. You have to wonder if he's starting to doubt himself a little bit, which is not what you want, because I think, quite frankly, I think Rhys is a great hitter when he's on. When he's on, he's one of the best in the league. And he'll battle you, he'll fight off some pitches with two strikes, and then he'll wait for you to come to him. The problem is, when you're missing that one pitch, your at-bats are a disaster. I think for him, what would be simplistic for him is to look in one spot. Don't worry about what kind of pitch is coming, just look in one spot. Yeah. And what, if you get that pitch in your spot, attack.
Yeah. Bryce Harper has been just belting the ball out of the ballpark this month. Rhys Hoskins, the exact opposite, hitting 127 so far this month. And now you're a leadoff hitter all of a sudden. So that's happening. Hey, Ricky, I also know you're a big football fan. What do you think of Carson Wentz not playing this preseason?
I think he should have played a little bit. I really do. I know it, they do a lot in practice, and he's very comfortable with where he is. I guess if everybody wasn't going down all the time, I guess he probably might have gotten a series or two. But, I mean, I watched last night. Tom Brady played.
Yep.
Nice.
I believe he's the greatest of all time, or one of the greatest of all time.
No, I think he's the greatest. Other than, you know, your boy Ryan Fitzpatrick for the first, like, 4 weeks of last season.
He was pretty good at the beginning of last season, wasn't he?
You know what, Ricky? This call was so good, I might give you $5 for Dunkin' Donuts or something, man. I don't know.
That would be fantastic.
Ricky Vitalico.
Bob blew me off last week, by the way.
Oh, did Bobby blow you off? Now, there was a little bit of an audible. I was supposed to be in on Friday. I had a little family thing happen.
Understandable,
but Bob, within the last 8 minutes, was thrown under the bus by somebody. I'm not going to say who.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll take it, Rick. I'll take the heat. It's
snap.
Okay.
I think he's trying to divide us here because I fell on the sword on the phone.
Oh, did you?
I did. I said that's on the inner workings of Ricky Vitalico.
This is diabolical, Rick.
Jamie said Bob and I.
Yeah, got thrown into the mix, and I said I forgot to call.
Jerks. Ricky, I'm sorry.
So I was not wrong.
Yeah.
Point proven.
I'll never forget you again, Rick, I promise.
Rick,
I can't quit you, Rick. I miss your smell.
All right.
We should get an apartment together.
You miss
my smell. That's sick.
Yeah. It's Anchorman, Rick. Come on.
I think Rick gets it.
I think you are sick. What is that? It works 30% of the whatever.
60% of the time it works 100% of the time.
It's not a lie. 60% of the time it works every time. Of the 60%, it works every time. It's, mathematically, it makes sense. Ricky, in all seriousness, I'm off NBC for the next 2 weeks, so I will miss you, buddy, but not your scent.
What am I supposed to do without you?
I don't know, man. Dude, I don't work. I don't know.
Well, enjoy your baby.
Thanks, man. Ricky Vitalico, Phillies pre- and post-game live on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Thanks, Ricky.
All right, guys.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.